All right, it's another Wednesday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Terry with you here on another Wednesday night. We are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Lots to talk about tonight, but we're going to concentrate it all on the big game tonight as Archie Miller's Hoosiers in his first big game here at Indiana, a home game tonight in the ACC Big Ten Challenge with number one Duke coming to town. Last couple number ones that have been to Indiana have gone home with the L. Can Archie Miller and team get it done tonight is the big question. It's a young team. It does have some veterans on it. It's got some foul trouble that you've seen back and forth. There are warts all over it, but it is not devoid of talent, and it is coming up against a team that is coming in, a Duke team with four freshmen starting in their starting rotation. They're pretty darn good freshmen, to say the least, and will be NBA players, all of them, pretty much. So it is a daunting task tonight, and Terry, the question goes on and on and on, and we'll break into all the different ways that that something might happen positively or negatively. But the big question to start off the bat is there a realistic shot that Indiana has of winning this right now? And I say that simply because it's game seven of Archie Miller's regime here, and we haven't exactly seen a well-oiled machine so far.
No, I would much rather this game be next year than right now, because then Marvin Bagley be gone too. Well, that would help.
They seem to replace them all pretty often, though.
Well, I mean, there's a chance because we're at home. And even though Assembly Hall is the worst-designed basketball arena ever in the history of basketball arenas, there's a certain ambiance there. There's a certain whatever you want to call it that when it comes to a big game, it's different. It's not shaped like anybody else's arena. And we'll have 17-222 full, actually, tonight. It won't be a faux crowd. And I would say at 9:30 we'll have some fairly fired-up student section, to put it mildly, 8,000 of them or whatever we're letting in there nowadays. So, you know, there's a chance because we're at home. And Duke, as you said, they got four freshman starters, a schizophrenic leader at guard, in Grayson Allen, who I'm sure will be the getting full throat from our student section tonight, and perhaps of him going crazy and doing something and get kicked out or losing his mind, which is highly possible.
All of it's possible.
But, I mean, if we're betting, I'm not going to bet on the Hoosiers. The line's dropped from 11 to 9 since Monday. You know, glad we're here. If we're playing at Cameron, this could be 30. We've seen how we play at Cameron. It's happened before.
What, 2 years ago, yeah.
Against an eventual Big Ten champion, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, and let's remember, though, that Hoosier team was coming out of Maui, and,
right.
and it was lost at that point in time.
Sure,
and,
sure was.
And it didn't look much better when it went down to Cameron. Now, they turned things around, and interestingly, it seemed to be the James Blackman Jr. injury that got some of that team's attention, if not all of that team's attention. You're exactly right. They ended up as Big Ten champions that year. This team, though, it has veterans on it. It does. But only two of those veterans are playing a major role right now. One of those veterans is a very nice role player off the bench and giving you some fantastic per-minute averages in Freddie McSwain. The other one is just now seen his first time in 2 years in Colin Hartman. So we say there are veterans on this team, but the veteran presence is still mostly, at least, limited to your two guards. Sure, Colin Hartman might develop more and more over the season, but I look at this Indiana team right now, there's a lot to project potential from, but again, it's not playing great right this minute. It still has a lot that it needs to solve on both ends of the floor, and that's not a great spot to be in here. So if the answer is we can beat them because our crowd's crazy and they haven't faced that, all right, I mean, I'll allow that, but you still got to go out on the floor and do something right, and I don't know that we've seen that yet.
Well, this team has a very small margin of error. I mean, they would have to play their best game of this short season so far, their best game under Archie. Some things that need to play into it. We have to be able to shoot the ball.
Yeah.
Now, the last game, both Josh Newkirk and Robert Johnson did. They hit the threes.
But once. They've done it once.
That's what I said. That was my point. It needs to happen again. As I said in our previous time you and I were together, we have five capable shooters. Mm-hmm. And finally, and all I want is two of them. If two of them are hitting in a game, we have a good chance. And what I'm hitting, talking about hitting, is, of course, threes more than anything.
Yeah.
But perimeter jumpers. If Duke does come out in the same zone that they've been playing so far this year, because Coach K doesn't trust them to guard man-to-man yet in a college environment, then we have to be sharp like we were the other night, moving the ball in and out of the zone, corner to middle, middle down low, and when we do kick it out, they have to hit the shots. Mm-hmm. And if we come up and hit, you know, 5 out of 18 threes tonight, and we'll just talk about shooting in the first segment and trying to score the ball, we're going to be in trouble.
Yeah.
I mean, we have to be able to shoot 40 or above in this game. So, yeah, no, everything you said is absolutely true. We do have some players with some we've got some talent. We've got some experience. But playing under a new system, and so far we have at best had, you know, 20 minutes here, 18 minutes here, had no minutes against Indiana State. So
right.
I see them. They're starting to grow. I like the last two games, especially the Eastern Michigan. They're not a bad team. I mean, they're going to be good. They probably win their conference, but they're not Duke.
No.
So, yeah, we're just going to have to pretty much play a perfect game if we're going to stay in this thing tonight.
812-333-2665. Tip-off is 9:30, of course, over at Assembly Hall with Duke coming to town against Indiana. It's on ESPN. The final game of the ACC Big Ten Challenge. I imagine by then the ACC will have had it wrapped up, considering they're wiping the floor with the Big Ten right now. And a couple of the ones tonight don't look great for the Big Ten either. What's more important for Indiana tonight in this game? Is it your two senior guards having significant box scores at the end of the night? And, I mean, we can all make up what that is. I mean, points, assists, not a lot of turnovers, you know, get a few rebounds because they can pull a couple down. But something that makes sense for them. But it's got to be points. They've got to be in there. And you imagine it's got to be assists. Or Deron Davis and Juwan Morgan staying on the floor, because that's still been a problem for Deron already. And you're going up against the best talent he's going to see all year long. Now, some other talent he's going to face, but this is the best combination of it, right? Certainly right this minute.
Yeah, until they play Louisville. So,
yeah.
6 of one, half a dozen of another. It would be who?
How devastating is it if Deron Davis plays 10 minutes?
It will be pretty tough.
Yeah.
And it'll be Freddie McSwain, come on down. Mm-hmm. Now, he's played great.
He's played great, but he's played great in 15-minute
right
spots.
We can't depend on him to, you know, play a – if he's pushed into a significant role for any reason, I don't know if he has the stamina to do it, and there's just too many dumb things he does sometimes that scares me. But, no, Deron Davis gets an early foul trouble. That's going to be bad. I mean, Duke's tall. The 2'6", 10", 6'11" kids that start the game, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But then off the bench, their first, you know, Marcus Bolden, 6'11", and Javon Delaurier is 6'10". Those are two sophomores. So they've got four guys at 6'10" or better, and then everybody else is a wing. So we match up well with everybody else. What I would like to see more of is Marvin Bagley getting foul trouble early.
Well, sure.
I mean, this is a guy that's been scoring 30 and 15 in the last two games and has a double-double in every game but one, and that's because he got hit in the eye and he didn't come back out the rest of that game.
But there's the question is, how do you get it? Because, yes, that would be ideal if he plays 12 minutes, but is he really going to be down on the block guarding Deron Davis?
Nope.
Because that's the quickest way to do it against someone, but he's not going to be the one that's going to get that job, I wouldn't expect. So he's probably on Juwan Morgan. Well, Juwan has been getting a lot of his points, not through running offense to get him in positions, but through being around the basket and being in the right spots and being there for dish-offs and things like that. It hasn't been, let's dump it into Juwan and have him go grab a couple fouls on his defender.
Well, they're going to be playing zone, so it doesn't matter. If they come out in a man-to-man against us, it will probably be just to test the waters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, essentially a new team under a new system, obviously many bugs to work out. and Coach K is, you know, if not the best ever, he's got to be in that top one or two. And he may come out with it and say, okay, guys, let's just see if we can play with this team and come out. They haven't been doing it against the other upper echelon, the Florida, the other night. They didn't do it against Michigan State. Mm-hmm. So they will probably force us, because they're long. They're athletic. Even their wings at 6'5", 6'6", and the 6'3" point guard have long arms. I would say they'd probably still be in that zone. So there's not going to be any direct attacking unless we move the ball crisply like we did the other night in a few cases against Eastern Michigan, to where we can kick it into the top of the key or to the free throw line, turn and find somebody low, mm-hmm. and then attack from that position, or even turn and take attack from the middle of the floor, which is a perfect way to beat the Syracuse zone, which we didn't do a couple years ago, whether it's a jump shot in the middle that Cody Zeller had five times and never took one, or a direct drive and just say, you know what, I'm coming in, foul me, block it, whatever.
We had a couple dump downs the other night.
Again, we didn't attack from the middle, right, but we dumped down, and it was just perfect. I mean, our ball movement the other night was very good. Then again, this is a ratcheted up a little bit. These three freshmen are probably three of the top 10 high school players from last year.
Yeah.
Actually, Marvin Bagley should be a high school senior right now.
That's right.
He reclassified, moved up a year, got his academics in order, and Duke took him. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be an interesting game. My biggest fear is that we start off slow and take our crowd out of it.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem.
I mean,
you need that crowd in it.
We need to stay off with them, get a good start. In a game like this, even the blue hairs clap and yell.
They'll get out of their seats tonight.
That's right.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Some programming notes for you. We've got NFL football picking back up tomorrow night. Washington is at Dallas. 8:30 is kickoff. 8 o'clock is pregame for the NFL on Thursdays. Friday night, we've got high school basketball returning. Cloverdale comes to town to face Edgewood. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk. 7:30 is tip for that game over at the Mustang Corral. And then on Saturday, it is college football. We have the SEC title game at 3:30, and shortly thereafter, the Big Ten title game. So a lot to be decided there. Who is going to end up in the playoff? You've got five different teams that could all be affected, those leagues themselves, with Alabama included. All of them could get in or could be out. And then Sunday, we've got Jacksonville coming to town for the Colts. Noon is the pregame with Bob Lamy, and the evening game on Sunday is Philadelphia at Seattle. Again, 812-333-2665 is our phone. We're talking IU basketball. Big, 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 big game. Early in the career, the tenure of Archie Miller tonight, 9:30 at Assembly Hall. Duke comes to town, number one Duke. Duke has played Texas and won in overtime. They've played Florida, got down big, and won by three. They've played Michigan State, scored 88 points on Sparty. They have not played a true road game. Now, they have been on the road, but
yeah,
they were in Chicago and they were in Portland. They played three of those games in Portland. They played the Chicago against Michigan State. They have not played in an arena. We pride ourselves on the Assembly Hall atmosphere for a big game, and it's true. I mean, the Assembly Hall is 8 million times different on a big game like this than it is for Arkansas State. There's just no comparison whatsoever. Four freshmen. So two questions about the crowd. Having played a lot, having watched a lot over the years, both IU and otherwise, how long at the beginning of a game does the crowd effect stick with somebody if you're in a hostile space? And two, why don't these kids that are going all over the world, why does it still affect them? That's the answer, the first one first, but the second one fascinates me.
Well, first of all, if and our latest point of reference was Kentucky and IU a few years ago, the Christian Watford shot. We got down early, tied it up, had two or three 10-point leads in the first quarter, or first half, I mean, and essentially looked pretty good.
And maybe kept the crowd 100% in the game.
The crowd was nuts. At some point, Kentucky made a little run in the second half, and then we got it back up to 10 points, if I recall, 10, 12. It can be sustained throughout the whole game when you're at that point of 8 to 12 points ahead, I think. Now, the minute that it can wane is if – and this is not going to happen, but if you were to be up 20 points, crowd lets up, kids let up.
Yeah.
It's usually never over unless there's like a minute to go and you're up 20. But so it can be sustainable for quite a while. It all depends on your team. If this game's close and it's a bucket and then a stop and another stop and a bucket and it's a 2-4-6-point game the whole time and we keep our key is to keep showing that we can score the ball against Duke. They come up with four or five stops in a row at one point, and then they score off of like three or four of those, and we're down eight. You've lost the our crowd at that point will try to rally and get that next score to not get it to 10. I mean, that's the one thing. I mean, our crowd, they're knowledgeable. They know when to try to push their guys to another level. Just like the other night when they started to pull away from Eastern Michigan, you could sense the crowd, and it wasn't a great crowd, but you could hear it even over the television, the volume starting to rise as they were trying to do something to kickstart it. So it could be sustained throughout a whole game if it's close. I mean, we've seen – I mean, I was talking to you at a break about the Marco Killingsworth game. That game – was nuts.
Well,
from start to finish.
I was thinking the other direction. You know, what happens if all of a sudden Duke pops a 7-point lead on you, 10 minutes left in the first half? You know, I mean, the crowd will always be in it if there's a game going on. You know, if it's a good game. But if they start to sense things are not going their way, then it, you know, then they start to sit on their hands a bit.
They will, and then either they will either try to rise and get them going, or they'll sit there and watch. Now, at that point, the team's got to do something.
Yeah.
The team has to score. The team has to get the stop that stops the string of buckets to give themselves. You know, Archie Miller can't play. Everybody in the stands can't play. They can pull strings. They can yell. Archie can pull the strings. We can yell. But the team has to ultimately do something to keep the crowd ready to go. And if you've had four scores in a row against you and they've stopped you, you have to stop them. You have to score after a stop. And then the crowd senses, oh, man, here we go, one more stop. I see. And now, whether we can do that or not, we'll find out in a couple hours. But that's the key. And your second question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it was high school, but you were in some volatile gyms at some point in time or another. It still fascinates me, though, that even today, with all the experience these kids have through AAU, especially going all over the nation and sometimes the world, that they can still have those eyes kind of start shaking a little bit in their heads at this kind of atmosphere.
You know what? And the difference is in AAU, it's not your team. It's not your high school. It's not your college. It's a bunch of guys put together, thrown together to try to go, you know, you get some free swag, you know, new shoes, bags, sweats, and you go play.
Well, I know the intensity's not there. It's just, you would think, I don't know. I mean, maybe it really is that scary.
It is a totally different, and I'll equate it to being a swim dad. When a really good swimmer came up to me at one point getting ready to come into South that knew my daughter and said, hey, you know, these big age group state meets we've been going to, I go, how many of your teammates are standing over there cheering for you while you're swimming? They're not, are they? They're all huddled over in a corner playing cards or doing something else. When you walk in to this pool, say, North versus South or somewhere, and you've got 30 other kids all up on the pool yelling for you while you're on the blocks, that warm feeling down the side of your leg is it's different. And that's what I think these guys now, I mean, some of these young kids, They go into, I mean, let's face it, Duke's one of the top programs in the country.
Yeah.
And have been for as long as Kay's been there. So this will be their first true. None of these guys have ever seen Assembly Hall except on television, including Grace and Allen.
Yeah, I mean, it's true.
And it is a, you got, you know, they got a couple more banners than we do, or they have the same amount of banners we do. I don't know.
I think it's the same.
But they're going to come in there, and the students are going to be, you know, it's not the cozy little environment of Cameron, which may be the one of the hardest places to play anytime.
Yeah, right.
It's a little more vast, but it's going to be different. And if these guys come out and play poised the whole game and don't turn the ball over or do some things, you know, they were doing it against Michigan State and got down early. They were doing it. They were down 17 to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just something about it. And then at the point, it's up to our team. Our crowd can keep it. It's up to our team to put the heat, either defensively or offensively, preferably both, on Duke and see if you can get some guys unraveled. The one thing about them is the minute they looks like that something come unraveled and we may have a 4 or 5 point lead, Krzyzewski calls timeout.
Yeah.
And stops the flow.
Well, it's our biggest asset tonight.
It is our biggest asset.
It is the crowd. We'll talk about the on-the-floor assets when we get back. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Programming notes for you again. We've got NFL football coming up tomorrow night. Washington is at Dallas. 8 o'clock is pregame and 8:30 is kickoff for that. Friday night, we've got high school basketball returning. Cloverdale is at Edgewood. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk and 7:30 tip-off for high school basketball. College football on Saturday, the SEC title game is at 3:30. The Big Ten title game is about 8 o'clock, so right after that. So we'll have chock full of college football on Saturday. And then Sunday noon, our pregame kicks off for Colts at Jacksonville, who's 7-4, by the way. And then the evening game is Philadelphia at Seattle. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. So let's look at IU Duke on the floor then. The obvious is you've got to find a way to contend with, all of them. But in particular, the big name is Marvin Bagley. Now, Grayson Allen's got to have some attention. But first, let's deal with Marvin Bagley because you're talking about the number one recruit in America. You were classified still as the number one recruit in America at the time. So going to be a top five draft pick, if not the draft pick. He's the best player out there. He's double-doubling all over the place, 30 and 15 half the time. It's kind of ridiculous what he's doing. Heck, they start the offense 25 feet away from the basket for him and let him go ahead and do whatever he wants to do out there with the ball. How do you defend him? Who do you defend him with? This is an Archie Miller who has said he's not going to use zone. Now, maybe he throws it in here and there, but he certainly hasn't shown it.
I'm putting Juwan Morgan on him to start with, mm-hmm. I guess, because number one, he's 6'11", says 234. That may be gracious by 10 pounds, but he's fast. He can dribble. I'm not sure what type of a shooter. I haven't seen enough of it to. I don't think he's a deep threat, but he can put the ball on the floor and drive.
Yeah.
And down low, he's just has some wonderful moves, block shots on defense,
he
rebounds.
4 of 13 on three pointers.
Yeah. So that's. I'll let him stay out there if he wants to shoot from out there.
Yeah.
But no, I mean right away. I mean you can't. We have to put one of our taller, athletic type guys on him. I mean, Juwan's probably our best defender. I mean, I don't know if he's our best perimeter defender, but I guess if it's me, if I'm Archie, that's who I'm starting on him.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, depending on how he does or what type of foul trouble, you may see Justin Smith on him. I don't think you'll see Freddie on him. I want Freddie down low with whoever's down low, just like I want Deron Davis down away from the positive. If he's going to meet Marvin, he might as well meet him at the rim. So, so far you can't stop him. I mean, he's been very, very good, and he's fun to watch. Tell you what.
Against Michigan State, they won in Chicago 88-81. Marvin Bagley played 10 minutes, had 4 points and six rebounds. He was not in foul trouble. He did not have a foul in that game.
He got poked in the eye.
And they still won by 7 against Michigan State, yes, who's mowing down everybody else. They scored 88 points. He's averaging in the neighborhood of 35 minutes. His last two games were Texas and Florida. He had 34-15 against Texas in 38 minutes, and that's an overtime game. Against Florida in regulation, it was 30-15 in 39 minutes. How are they scoring 88 points a game, and he's playing 39 minutes a game? I keep hearing we need to get in game shape. This guy's a freshman. He's doing 30 and 15 and playing 38 minutes a game.
Obviously, he's in game shape.
Well, clearly. How did he get there so fast?
I don't know. The only reason that they beat Michigan State was that Grayson Allen had the game of his life. Now,
because Marvin Bagley got poked in the eye.
Marvin got poked in the eye, and Krzyzewski says, "You're not going back in." He didn't come out.
Yeah.
I mean, he sat on the bench the whole second half and played the very next game. Now they had a decent game. Trayvon Duval, the point guard, had a good game against Michigan State, but it was mainly Grayson. Now he had 37 points. He's hitting threes with people in his face.
Yeah, he can
He's hitting threes falling backwards with people in his face. There's a guy I don't want going off on us tonight several reasons.
Which is harder to stop? I mean, Marvin Bagley getting to the basket, or is it Grayson Allen getting in some sort of rhythm?
Well, right now we're not stopping much of anybody from if they want a 3-point shot. That's one of the things Archie's working on, trying to get it that way. The only advantage to Marvin Bagley driving to the basket is somebody to sneak up underneath him and get a charge. Because let's face it. He is a freshman. I don't care how good he is. There are certain things that he hasn't seen on a basketball floor yet, and he's sure as heck not been in our building yet.
Yeah.
So if he wants to stand out there and dribble, hopefully our pack line defense, somebody will meet him somewhere in the middle and hopefully draw a charging foul on him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether that happens or not, again, we'll find out in a couple hours. But yeah, who's it going to be? Well, that probably is going to be somebody like Newkirk or Johnson or, you know, one of our guards. You know, it's a pick your poison. Again, it's just playing in a strange – I mean, the way our Assembly Hall is set up, like I said, it's the IU people that approved that back in the late 60s were morons. It's a glorified football stadium. When they first opened it, there were no bleachers in the end zones at all. But it is a kind of a different shooting background, too, from other arenas that are in the round or completely – this is just completely different from anywhere else. So sight lines are different. Your depth perception, your shooting angles are going to be different. We can only hope that all of this plays into it, but the bottom line, Dave, is if our guys don't come to play, it won't matter how many shots Duke misses, or how terrified or upset they get trying to play in this building. We have to do something. If we don't match, if we don't score when they're not scoring, as Tony Hinkles once said, the team that wins is generally the one that puts the ball in the basket the most times.
Very, very sage advice. 812-333-2665 is a phone number. No one has mentioned that I have heard the idea that, and this doesn't make me a genius, of the last couple of years, everybody's had to talk at some point in time about Grayson Allen and stupid stuff he's done out on the court. So if you want to talk to somebody who might get rattled by an environment, how about the guy that actually has a history of getting rattled in certain environments? So, I mean, is that legit at this point in time? Is there a real chance at that? We're not a chippy, in-your-face, you know, pull-on-your-shirt kind of team, it doesn't look like to me. So can that really get in him at this point in time? Is he suddenly different now and it's not going to let him rattle him? Or is that a real chance here?
Well, you know what? I don't think a leopard changes its spots.
I mean, until he doesn't do it, then he's
well,
like that,
that's
right?
What
I mean,
I'm
isn't
thinking.
That how it works?
My thoughts are going to be, he will be the one that our 8,000 student section will be focusing the majority of their attention on will be Grayson Allen. Who knows? Somebody beats him, and the old he'll revert back and try to trip him. I mean, it's the guy's, you know, he's a strange cat. I'll be nice and just put it that way. So, yeah, who knows? Now, so far this year, he's been good. He's been calm on the sidelines. He's been a great leader for those four kids. They seem to listen to him. The other night, crucial in that, I think it was the Texas game, that he fouled out and didn't throw a fit, didn't do any. It was a good call. It was offensive call for his fifth foul. Mm. And I was kind of just waiting for him to go throw a temper tantrum. He just kind of grinned, and he looked over at Coach K, and he grabbed a couple of the kids, said some words, and went and sat down.
Yeah, good.
And so you just never know. He's right now, believe it or not, it's hard. He's the glue for this bunch of kids. So we'll see how he does right now. I mean, look, I mean, they've played, you know, Michigan State, Texas, and Florida, all ranked.
Yeah.
You know, top, you know, Florida's top 10 in most of the preseason polls. We know Michigan State was. So, you know, this group's for real. I mean,
And half of these games are away from home. And they may not be in this environment, but they are away from home.
Yeah, they have never played on another school's campus with a full crowd yet. So this is it. We'll see what happens. And they'll, you know, they have to be a little shaky. And we have to play the best game we've played under Archie Miller to date. Period.
Defensively, I see improvement from this group. This group is not a finished product by any stretch.
No, no.
So what does it have to do well tonight? And let's look at the other matchups. I mean, Grayson Allen, who if anyone, you know, one person are you going to put there? Because they're going to run screens all night for him. But then what about the other kids? I mean, Duvall puts up 13 tonight. Carter puts up 13 tonight. Gary Trent's 12.5. Now, there's other guys on this team that can put the ball in the basket that are awfully talented. So is there a matchup in there that you like more than others or that you fear more than others that we aren't talking about?
Not really. I mean, the rest, except for Wendell Carter, who I would assume Deron Davis would start out on unless he moves way out on the floor. He may be the X factor. I don't know if you can look up what his – if he's a three-point shooter.
He shot 2 of 4.
All right, so he's not going to be outside.
Second leading rebounder.
Yeah, he's and everybody else, until you get to DeLaurier or Bolden, everybody else is wings. Mm-hmm. So I think we have enough wings and guards to, you know, face up with any of the rest of them. I think our biggest key is going to be rebounding, and I mean both boards. Mm-hmm. We can't let them play volleyball on their offensive board and continue, you know, we've got to stop that from happening. And every time I looked up from watching the last couple of games, Marvin Bagley's doing that.
Yeah.
We got to stop that.
We had 30 and 15 each of the last two games, and that's Texas and Florida.
Yeah, we've got to. And Texas is not small, and neither is Florida. Florida's a well-put-together team. Yeah. And Shaka Smart at Texas is going to have a much better team this year than last year. So Will,
better,
you know,
they stunk last year.
Yeah, he brought in a few, got rid of a couple and I think they're going to be a lot better. I didn't expect them to have I'm looking while they are night going. They're up 17 on Duke.
Yeah,
and then just Duke methodical and get a three, make a stop, get a two, make a stop, let them score two, get a stop, get a three. Will, you know, they're capable. They've got 8 guys that they play a lot, and they're very capable.
Hoosiers have scored 87 points in their last two games. A little different competition tonight. A little better zone, maybe. At least a little more athletic on the individual spots. We'll talk about what the Hoosiers need to do on the offensive end when we get back from the break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Terry with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Terry on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Programming notes for you. We've got several here. Washington is at Dallas tomorrow night, NFL football. 8 o'clock is pregame for that. Friday night, our high school basketball season continues with Cloverdale at Edgewood. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk and 7:30 is tip-off. Saturday is college football day, and we've got the SEC title game at 3:30 and the Big Ten title game in the evening. I believe that's an 8 o'clock kick, but we'll pick up some pregame for that after the SEC game. On Sunday, we've got Bob Lamy in the pregame at noon for the Colts at Jacksonville, who is suddenly looking for a playoff spot at 7-4. We'll carry the evening game also with Philadelphia at Seattle. And then on Monday, well, we're going to give you over to NBC Football, or NBC Sports, and then NBC Football, I believe it is. It covers Cincinnati at Pittsburgh on Monday Night Football. We got some things going on, so we won't be with you on Monday night, but Glass and Terrio will be with you on Wednesday next week. So that's all of that. Again, the centerpiece there, of course, is our high school season, our high school basketball Friday night, 7 o'clock. Chalk Talk, Cloverdale at Edgewood. IU tips off against Duke at Assembly Hall at 9:30 tonight. I'm sure they'll move that back just a little bit just to make sure we can all go to bed at 1 a.m.
Of course.
Yeah, make it a real late night. So on the offensive end here, the Hoosiers have been scoring points the last couple times. They've been doing it by only turning the ball over 8 times each of the last couple times out. They faced Eastern Michigan in a 2-3 zone last time out, which is what Duke has been playing here now with these youngsters under Coach Krzyzewski. How does this all translate into the enormous step up in talent on that end? Because Duke's scores are not a team that defends anybody in a shutdown fashion. It just so happens to be interesting that they're running this 2-3 zone instead of the old man coverage that Krzyzewski usually likes.
Yeah, and you know, Eastern Michigan had a couple of guys that were long, 6'9", 6'8", long arms. But they aren't the talent that these kids are. We have to be patient. Again, we have to keep the turnovers at a minimum. Move the ball. Again, the key to any zone, especially a 2-3, is to find a way to move the ball into the center of the floor, free throw line. And then you have all kinds of ways to attack from there, whether it's dumping down low, taking a jump shot, driving, or you get converged and you're kicking it to the corner for a three. I mean, you got a lot of options.
If you can do it.
If you can do it. To be honest, I was very impressed with the way we handled the Eastern Michigan. Again, it's apples and bananas. It's not the same. But to prove that you can do it and understand how to do it, when perhaps some of these guys had not been that great at taking care of zone defenses the last few years. So I was impressed to see that again tonight. It's just got to be – we've got to play – and I kind of hate this term, you play within yourself. We can't get too hyped because the crowd's going – I mean, this is – you know, we've still got a couple of guys who've played in front of those crowds before. I mean, we also have some guys who haven't.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, we're gonna have to just take care of business again. I think keys are rebounding and turnovers. I think we will get shots against this zone.
Mm-hmm. Duke does not shut down on defense.
No, they're not shutting down anybody.
They don't. I mean, even the lousy teams on their schedules. What's the lowest scoring game? 68 points, 61 points. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're still in the 60s against Southern and Furman and Elon.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll get some shots. I mean, here's the thing. Are we going to get the guys, you know, Rob Johnson and Josh Newkirk hitting some shots like they did the other night? Will Colin Hartman come off the bench and hit a couple of shots? If we get the same open shots that we've gotten in the last several games and not hit them, then we're going to be in trouble.
I mean, we got to hit the threes, do we not?
Well, threes are of utmost importance, but – the other thing is a jump shot from the free throw line, a bank shot from a 45-degree angle after penetration into the middle of this zone. You're going to get a lot of shots, and I think good ones. Now, the threes are going to be more prevalent because when they're long and lean, if you can get them sucked into the middle, that's where you got to go. Mm-hmm. And if you're going there, you might as well take a three as versus a two. We've got to play the game of the year for right now. We have to play the game of the year.
I don't think there's any question. I mean, turnovers, you mentioned, but I think a turnover margin in particular, to me, I look at, you got to create some on the other end. There is no one thing that can happen in this game that means a difference for Indiana. So I'll throw out, give me three super brief, or as brief as you can, just factors, stats, storyline. When you come through this and you say Indiana beat Duke tomorrow, What are the three things you would expect that to have happened for that to happen?
Indiana hit the shots that when they were open. That would be one thing. Indiana held its own on the boards. Didn't let Duke play volleyball and get putbacks. And Marvin Bagley got in foul trouble or got hurt. And I don't want him to get hurt. But it's something had to happen to him. And the rest of it is just going to be all on us to perform. Little margin of error, 9-point dog tonight. And the best crowd you have seen this year, let's give them something to cheer about. That's what I think.
I've heard this year that seniors and senior guards in particular are good for a turnaround. Then I've heard them saying that they've got muscle memory that's hard to get rid of. So what's the story for a game like this? Because it seemed like naturally you have to say that having a pair of senior guards is a really good thing for a big game like this, because they've been through every big game environment you can imagine and played, you know, number one, number 10, whatever teams you can name, they've played very good basketball teams. It's got to be the benefit tonight, does it not?
Yeah, I would think so, and more so Rob Johnson than anybody. Mm-hmm. If he can carry the water tonight and get 20 and just make some plays and lead these guys, you know, there's a chance. I'm not going to pick us to win the game, but him more than anybody, because he's been here 4 years now. Mm. And Newkirk had some good games last year, big games, but we were kind of a train wreck most of last year.
And I'm with you. If this team had already had time a year to put in the systems, especially on defense that Archie likes, I'd like it better in this game.
Next year would be better.
Very explosive Duke team.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, music means we've got to head on out of here. Again, reminder, Friday night is our showpiece. High school basketball. Cloverdale is at Edgewood. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk. 7:30 tip off for Friday. And we will talk to you next week. You've been in the zone.